Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday, and every Wednesday at 9:30. We talked to the great John McClain. He's presented by 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. You can visit 12stonesgolfclub.com to book your tee time. Experience golf the 12 Stones way. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Have you done your presentation for Bud yet? I don't know how much you can talk about it, but
We can't talk about any of that at all. The results we're sworn to secrecy will come out the 1st of December once they've determined who the coach and the senior nominees are.
Well, I hope it all went well for sure. It was good being able to talk about that last week. We got to talk about a Titans win last week, but not so much this week. But what'd you think of Will Levis? I didn't think he was all that bad in his return.
When you look at his stats, you know, his stats look good. Now, that late touchdown pass when time was running out, they kind of skewered it. But the fact he didn't throw an interception and the fact that he didn't do anything stupid, at least that I know of, and he ran the ball well, I think they have to be encouraged. Now he's going up against the Vikings. Brian Flores is maybe the most creative defensive coordinator in the NFL. Levis is going to see things he hasn't seen. They beat the Texans this year 34-7 in Minneapolis. But the thing is, everything is get rid of the ball quick. You can't take five-step drops when they blitz. They show blitz, then they back out. But, boy, when they do blitz, the guy who left the receiver, Levis and the receiver, have to realize he needs to throw the ball to that hot receiver immediately. Some quarterbacks still struggle with that. C.J. Stroud had problems with it in the middle of the year. Now he's okay with it. But any time you have a young quarterback seeing things he hasn't seen, he's got to learn from it. And I think people should be encouraged by what he did in that defeat.
Yeah, speaking of Stroud and the Texans, how are they after that crazy game on Sunday night? Goff throws 5 interceptions, yet the Lions find a way to come back and win.
Texans were winning 23-7 at the half, and people were like celebrating the victory, and I had people texting me, can they hang on? And I said, no, they will not hang on because they are a terrible team in the second half. They haven't scored a touchdown in the second half in 4 consecutive games. They are, as I wrote in my lead on my column, Charles Dickens, when he wrote, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. He's talking about the first and second half for the Texans. And the Lions are the first team to have 5 interceptions and trail by at least 16 points and win since 1970. And that should show the Lions, no matter what they're facing in regular season and the playoffs, instead of remember the Titans, they can go remember the Texans. Because Goff, Dan Campbell tried to say Goff played pretty well. No, he didn't. You know, they besides intercepting 5, they dropped 2 interceptions. And if you're ever going to beat the Lions, that would have been it. Now Detroit is 8-1 for the first time since 1954 when I was 2 years old.
Well, John, you saw them up close and personal Sunday night. What was your takeaway on seeing the Lions?
The Texans did a great job of shutting down their run to 1 drive in the 4th quarter. They ended up 105 yards rushing, and they got like 47 on that 1 drive. And they came in averaging 156, I believe. So they did a good job against their run. And Goff did a good job on some of his passes, but the defense was the difference. The defense keeping the Texans out of the end zone, no field goals. Kymie Fairbairn missed a 58-yarder that would have won the game. And then the kicker for the Lions, Jake Bates, was selling bricks in Houston for Acme Bricks when he got a call. Texans had cut him after 2 weeks in 2023 training camp. The Michigan Panthers called him. He kicked for them. Then the Lions got him. He had a 58-yard field goal to tie, 52-yard field goal to win with no time left. And it's so funny, when the Texans got killed at Minnesota, we didn't rip them as bad as we did on this game because they blew it. They had it and blew it. So they lost 2 games to NFC North at Green Bay, and here against Detroit on field goals with no time left. And Detroit, Dan Campbell knows they were very fortunate to win, but they ought to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. But unless he does really stupid something like he did last year, going for it when he shouldn't have, but they are a great team. They got a lot of balance, and that's what you need today. They run it as well as anybody, so I think they are definitely capable of getting to the Super Bowl, maybe beating maybe the Chiefs, maybe the Bills, who knows, Ravens, you just don't know, but they're by far the best team in the NFC.
All right, John, let's keep it in that division. Let's go from the top to the bottom with the Chicago Bears. How many times has Papa Bear Hallis turned over in his grave watching what's happening with his team? Because this is an absolute disaster, mess, whatever you want to call it right now with the Bears.
And they host the Packers, and they fired Shane Waldron, their coordinator. When Caleb Williams is totally discombobulated, and they need to settle him down. He's not getting rid of the ball quick enough. Even when he gets blocking, even when the receivers are open, he's not finding him because he's thinking about the pressure. Now, that he didn't play that way when they were winning five games. He has played that way lately. I'm sorry, when they went in four games. They were, I think, 4-2. But now he's regressed, and it all starts with him needing to get rid of the ball. It's not like at USC where he could run around and make plays and then throw it the last instant. That doesn't happen much in the NFL unless you're Mahomes. So they've got to get him together. They've got to run the ball better. But they were pathetic. And I've said before the season, on every show I do, Matt Eberflus was on the hottest seat. Not Mike McCarthy, not anybody else, because he had the first overall pick. He's a defensive coach, and the Bears expect big things from Caleb Williams as a rookie. It better not backfire. Now we all know he's going to be fired. They're going to try to go after Ben Johnson with the Lions. They'll want to bring in some hotshot offensive coach to come in there and take control of Caleb Williams. And they'll spend the offseason working on their offensive line. They've got the receivers. They've got a defense. I would think this is a very attractive job, unless you don't like freezing your ass off for half of the season.
John McClain is with us. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. There's a team in the NFC that I'm really curious about, and I wasn't paying attention to them for a while, and now all of a sudden they got it, and that's the Arizona Cardinals. Now, I know that division isn't great this year, but do you kind of feel like they might be legit?
Boy, they're 6-4. It is unbelievable the job that Jonathan Gannon
– they've won four in a row.
Doing out there, and Kyler Murray's playing better than any time in his career. I see a lot of people saying, oh, you can't have a defensive coach as the head coach. Then you lose your offensive coordinators when you win. Well, there's a lot of defensive head coaches out there doing a good job, and Gannon is one of them. And I thought they were a year away. You know, when you think of the Cardinals, you always think of last place because that's where they usually are. It's an exciting story. It's a great story. And is this division winnable? I think the 49ers probably will win it as they get their people back healthy. But, man, the Cardinals have been one of the biggest surprises, maybe second behind Washington.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. We will have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. John McClain, presented by 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. You can visit 12stonesgolfclub.com to book your tee time. Experience golf the 12 Stones way. Continuing our conversation with John. You look at the schedule this weekend, John, and Sunday night, Bengals-Chargers, which the Bengals, not very good this year. Chargers, decent. I think I kind of look at them as maybe being a year away because I don't think Harbaugh has fully unlocked Justin Herbert yet. And then your Texans and the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. And I'm just going to say this as a Cowboys fan, just end them, please. Just end this misery.
Well, the misery's already been ended. I mean, McCarthy's gone. Cooper Rush is quarterback. they should play Trey Lance. And the reason is they gave up a fourth-round pick to get Trey Lance, who was, what, third pick overall by the 49ers, worst pick of Kyle Shanahan's career as the 49ers head coach. So they trade him for a four. The Cowboys got to see what they have. Now, Dak Prescott's going to be the quarterback, but the key is, will Trey Lance be a better backup next year than Cooper Rush, or could Trey Lance play well, and then you trade him for more than you gave up to get him? Like, what if he played down the stretch and the offense looked good and he looks good? Everybody's still going to be fired, but then they can help the rebuild. And, yes, they would. They need a lot of picks, as you guys know. And you might end up getting a three, a conditional two. You never know. You're not going to know if he's sitting on the bench and they're playing for nothing because McCarthy's gone. The worst thing that could happen is for Cooper Rush to go 4-1 after this, like he was, what, 2-3 years ago, and them get a false sense of security. Oh, we're going to bring McCarthy back. But no, I think McCarthy's gone, and it's a matter of whether the Cowboys want to hire a guy like Bill Belichick. Do they want some other former coach like Mike Vrabel? I think Vrabel would fit in really well there. Do they want to go for some hotshot assistant? And it is still the Cowboys, and they do have Dak Prescott. No matter how flustered the fans get with Dak, Dak's still a good quarterback. They need a running game, as you know. Their line's not what it used to be. They need to keep losing, so that pick just gets higher and higher.
Well, you didn't mention the name that, you know, is kind of the hot name, which I would hate if they hired this guy, but does Deion Sanders have any chance in your mind?
No. And I think Deion, once his sons are gone, I think I'm told Deion wants to go back to Florida State. I don't see Deion in the NFL. And I think it'd be great if he went to Dallas, because I think they'd be kind of they'd be bad. But he is, his BS is good for high school kids and college kids, but I don't think it would wash in the NFL. I know a lot of things he's done at Colorado the NFL wouldn't let him do. And so I'd be shocked if Jerry Jones brought Deion Sanders back to Dallas, even though he lives there and has a monster home there. I don't think you have to worry about that one.
John, what is it with the Raiders beyond the quarterback? I mean, last year guys were loving that Antonio Pierce was their interim quarterback, and they're going to play for him. If they don't bring him back, they're not going to come back for the Raiders. That is a terrible football team. What happened?
They don't have a quarterback. When you don't have a quarterback and you don't have a running back, they let Josh Jacobs go for a little money. They could have kept him, and they thought Zamir White was going to be good. Their running game is terrible, and when you don't have a running game, as you saw with the Cowboys, that just puts more pressure on a quarterback, and when you don't have a quarterback, that makes it even worse. So it's not a good year right now for quarterbacks. Shedeur Sanders, I'm sure, will be the best. Carson Beck looks terrible. Oh. That's going to worry teams about the way he has played. And there's other, Quinn Ewers at Texas just threw 5 touchdown passes and no interceptions, but he right now doesn't look like a first rounder. So there's going to be a lot of jockeying for a guy like Sam Darnold. They can't give him a long-term extension in Minnesota because of J.J. McCarthy. So Darnold's going to hope to cash in, and because of the dearth of quarterbacks, he's going to probably get a lot more than he's worth.
John, Pittsburgh and Baltimore play on Sunday, and there's a quote I coach used a long time ago, which always stuck with me. It's like, whoever wins this game, it's going to be like, hey, we won the battle, but we lost the war. What kind of game do you expect between these two teams on Sunday?
The way it always is, right now, it's because both teams are good. It's got to be the best rivalry in the NFL. It's physical. It's being played in Pittsburgh. Steelers haven't played a division game yet. Everybody's getting all excited about them being 7-2, and yes, they've done a great thing, and the defense is great. And boy, I tell you what, Mike Tomlin's getting so much praise for going with Russell Wilson, when the fact is Arthur Smith figured into that situation. Arthur Smith may have gone to Tomlin and said, we need to make a change here. So they're not giving him any any credit, because a head coach does not change a quarterback if the offensive coordinator and play caller is against it. That is a recipe for disaster. So we'll see. I never pick against Lamar Jackson. I usually never pick against the Steelers at home, but I don't think Baltimore can afford a fourth loss. You know, they're a half game behind the Steelers. They need to win this one, because if they win this one, then they got a chance to sweep the series. I still think Baltimore is the best team in the division. I read today it's the 37th time that John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin have played against each other. They've got a 38th, and they may have a 39th.
Real quick, did either of you see Mike Tomlin's comments when he was asked about facing Deontay Johnson? And he said, they have more significant pieces for me to worry about. I thought that was pretty funny.
Not very complimentary at all, was it?
It was great.
That's the way he is. John, Buffalo, Kansas City. Buffalo is a very quiet 8-2. Everybody, we're talking about Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Detroit, Kansas City. Harlemay's talking about Buffalo. What are they doing right so far this year?
I watched the Texans beat them here for their best win of the season. They haven't lost since. And Josh Allen's playing great. Their running game is a lot better than it was early in the season. The defense, which had quite a few personnel losses, and people panicked at the time. But the fact is, they could have kept those guys. They had guys they wanted to move up. And Sean McDermott, who everybody thought was on a hot seat, is doing a great job. This is a great weekend for games. I'm so glad I got a Monday nighter so I can sit back, relax, and watch.
John McClain is with us. When you look at the teams that they're either, I'd say, division leaders or in contention for the division, have a winning record, what team stands out to you as maybe the biggest fraud right now in the National Football League?
Oh, gosh, I want to say Arizona, and then I think I look over at the Chargers. The Chargers have Jim Harbaugh. They're always going to be good but not great. They have Justin Herbert's their strength. They got a good pass rush. You guys saw Levis get sacked 7 times. But I don't think they're going to be anywhere close. And the Cardinals, 49ers win Sunday. Cardinals are off. They'll tie the Cardinals for first place. So because Harbaugh's Harbaugh, I'm going to say the Cardinals.
Okay, that's a good one. And then what team that maybe is middle of the pack right now do you think, maybe not this year, but they're coming, and you got to watch out for them potentially next year?
Well, we talked earlier about Cincinnati playing at the Chargers on Sunday night. Joe Burrow is playing great. 9 yeah. touchdown passes in his last 2 games, and they've lost. They can't play defense anymore. Every year, people want to make them into a Super Bowl contender. I would think next year, the Cardinals, the Texans, the upstarts like that that need another year. People overrated the Texans this year, and they underrated, of course, the Cardinals, because the Cardinals are usually last place team. If Tua Tagovailoa stays healthy, we saw last year what he can do with his receivers, and they've got great running backs and speed like no other team. So I think the Dolphins are always dangerous. They're 3-6. They ought to hammer the Raiders, 4-6, and then get on a run against I know they still come here to play. So I haven't written them off, not as a playoff team, but as a team that can win, have a winning record, and do some serious damage to the other teams.
John, Brian Daboll or Doug Peterson, who goes first?
Doug Peterson. I think Daboll was coach of the year. They don't want to give up on him. They know he's got Daniel Jones. That wasn't his pick. And Doug Peterson's got Trevor Lawrence, generational quarterback, and they are terrible. Now Lawrence is hurt. I think Peterson is gone.
I think Peterson's gone in the next couple of weeks, if I had to guess. I think he's the next one to get fired.
I'd be surprised, even though they fired coaches during the season. You know, what does that do for you late in the year? You might win a game or two. So what? That just costs you draft choices. You need to be thinking about the draft when you're bad. And you can never say that, of course, because you want to win every game. But, boy, when you lose, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is a higher pick. And you got needs, and the Jaguars have them.
Do you think Peterson's going to be a hot commodity as an OC, though?
No. I think people look at him as a head. He's been a head coach now 2 times. I don't think. I think people see him as a head coach. I see him as like going somewhere as an assistant head coach and by with one of his buddies and kind of helping oversee the offense. Texans tried to do that with Gary Kubiak here to bring him in, the first time coordinator Bobby Slowick can work with him the way he had with Kevin Stefanski in Minnesota. But Kubiak didn't want to spend that much time. He said he's available anytime D'Amico Ryans needs him, but he didn't want a full-time job. But I kind of think that's what Peterson will do.
Going to be interesting to see. John, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, my pleasure. Thank you very much, and good luck to the Titans against the Vikings.
Absolutely. Thank you, John. John McClain joining us here on the program, as he does every Wednesday at 9:30, presented by 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. It's always interesting this time of year to play the, who's next game? And I'm with John. We've talked about it with the Titans. Like, what does it really do making a change mid-year?
Oh, but not only that, but you talk about, you know, Antonio Pierce took over for the Raiders, and they were like, we love him, and they're terrible. I mean, now the Saints guys are like, we love the Rizzi, or whatever his name is, the special teams coach. Like, we love playing for him, and they get the job, and they're just it flames out the next year. I don't know. NFL is – it's a soap opera. And it drives us crazy.
It does indeed. Tomorrow is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that'll score a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you'll win a pair of tickets to an upcoming home game. You can participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45. And speaking of a Preds player, Colton Sissons going to join us coming up next as they continue their road trip. They're back at it tomorrow night. We'll talk to Colton next. Here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.